Can't you see it? A glistening 100-megawatt solar field begging to be built? It's photovoltaic modules and balance of system powering a renewable energy tomorrow that's squeaky clean? We know that unless you have the right supplier, that world might just be a fantasy. But here at Graybar, with years of renewables experience, we live in that world. Get in touch to see for yourself.
We are now ready to depart.
Book your visit at graybar.com. Yep, Graybar does that.
When I pull up to the parking lot, it's time to level up. Dial in, showing out for your team. Listen up, get you some. I stand the fan to give you what you need. Fan fuel, game time. Turn up the intensity. Team colors bleeding now. 5 hour energy. For a limited time, get the fan fuel flavor at 5hourenergy.com.
Instacart's Deal Week is coming up from December 17th to December 23rd. That means you can get up to 25% off holiday gifts for the whole family from stores like Best Buy, Bath & Body Works, PetSmart, and more. And you can get delivery in as fast as 30 minutes. Just think of it as Instacart's little gift to you. And while we're on the subject, why not get a little something for yourself, too? Shop Deal Week from December 17th to 23rd and save up to 25% on gifts. Discounts vary. Minimum spend, maximum discount, and exclusions apply.
B. Mitchell Finley, 106.7 The Fan. Excited now to get to the phone lines, bring in Mark Seagraves, NBC4 reporter. Mark, what's up, dude? How are you?
JP, hey, thanks for having me. I really appreciate being back.
Oh, dude, we appreciate you making time. And obviously, there's big news of brewing on Capitol Hill. What's the latest with this continuing resolution to get RFK back into city control?
So I am literally sitting by my phone waiting for the call that is expected to come at any minute saying that the legislation has been, made its way on to that continuing resolution. The continuing resolution is a mechanism to keep government open through the end of the year that has to be passed before this Congress ends, and that is on Friday, the 20th. So the clock is literally ticking. We expected this to come out last week. We expected it again Sunday night, and now we're sitting by the phone expecting it one more time. But from talking to people on the D.C. government side of this, they are very hopeful and encouraged that it after all of the back and forth between Maryland roadblocks that they threw up, they really believe this is going to happen, and they think it's going to happen today.
That's crazy. So we heard all these crazy reports. What, at the end of the day, were the Maryland demands, and have they all been met?
So Maryland had, you know, really three big demands. One was, you know, and I spoke to Senator Chris Van Hollen about this a few days ago. They do not want the current stadium in Prince George's County to end, to if the team were to leave and to go anywhere else other than there. They don't want that stadium to look like RFK does now, right? An abandoned rust bucket, just an eyesore of unproductive land, right? And
sure.
So they wanted that assurance with some specificity, you know, within 90 days of leaving, that you will tear it down and begin the project in coordination with Prince George's County officials to some type of a development there that would be beneficial to the community. So that was one of their big concerns. They also wanted something I think a lot of people are like, what in the world does this have to do with sports? They wanted the D.C.'s Air National Guard fighter jets. So every state has a National Guard. Maryland has an Air National Guard. D.C. has an Air National Guard. The Air Force is reconfiguring their uses for those, and in doing so, they are going to eliminate the Maryland Air National Guard's fighter jet unit, which is located up in near Baltimore. D.C. has its own Air National Guard, which, you know, there are no landing strips in Washington, D.C. So D.C.'s Air National Guard is actually based in Maryland at Andrews Air Force Base. And D.C. has two units. One is a transport unit, and one is a fighter jet unit. Maryland wanted that fighter jet unit for themselves to continue to have their own Air National Guard. And, of course, you know, Maryland has a lot more coastline and just, you know, area, terrain to have to cover. And so D.C. was fine with that. I spoke to the mayor, didn't have any objections to that. D.C. Delegate Norton had some initial objections, but at the end of the day, she was like, fine, if they want it, they can have it, if it'll make this deal happen. And then the last, and so those two things got signed off on pretty early. Then the last hurdle that got thrown up was the Key Bridge in Baltimore, wanting federal funding for the Key Bridge in Baltimore to be paid for by the federal government in total. So those were really the three things that they wanted included in any legislation that would include RFK land going to D.C. for another 99 years. And they seem to have gotten assurances. We know that Josh Harris signed that memorandum of understanding. The Washington Post did some very in-depth, very good reporting on this. And, you know, from their reporting, we know that Josh Harris met with the governor of Maryland and agreed to all his terms. And yet, you know, when it came to what he had control over, and that was the disposition of the current stadium. And yet, Wes Moore held back on signing that MOU. It appears, and I'm not even sure if the governor signed that MOU yet, but it appears now that the Chuck Schumer, the Senate majority leader, has been satisfied that, you know, Maryland will be get what they need, D.C. will get what they need if this is included. And so the anticipation and expectation from D.C. leaders is that, you know, now it is going to happen. It will make its way onto the CR at some point, and that will get passed, and D.C. will get long-term control of the RFK campus.
See, that's I got some popped up on my phone this morning was saying that the commanders are going to invest in the Landover area, and I guess that's what that means.
That's correct. Yeah. And you know, look, the difference between the RFK site and the Landover site, you know, it's just enormous. One, the federal government owns the land where RFK is, and, you know, it's not privately owned or could not be developed. And so by virtue of it just sitting there, there wasn't, you know, a property owner who was losing money, right? Whereas the commanders own that land out there. If they were to vacate, that would be an asset for them, right? They're, you know, any businessman is not just going to sit on an asset and let it, you know, fall apart.
Right.
And so they have every, you know, interest, fiscal interest in wanting to see something productive come of that. Because if they are going to move, you know, they're going to need funding for a new stadium.
Talking with NBC4's Mark Seagraves here. Mark's been all over this reporting with RFK working its way through Congress. You can give him a follow at Seagraves, NBC4, Segraves, NBC4. Also, some official news on this game is flex. The Commanders just announced it. Week 17 will be Sunday Night Football, Commanders-Falcons. So, Mark, back to the RFK thing. So, by all accounts, this is going to get out of Capitol Hill. It's going to get out of federal control and turned over to the city. But one thing that I think is important is that that doesn't mean this is a done deal. What, how far down the line do you think this is, and what do you think happens next?
Right. So, you know, if you think that this was a political battle to get this far, you ain't seen nothing yet. Wait until it comes down to the 13 members of the D.C. Council and the mayor to try to agree on something, particularly a massive funding bill for a stadium for a billionaire team owner, right? So if they get control, if Congress does finally pass this and D.C. gets long-term control of the property there for 99 years, which is what the legislation would give D.C. control of the land for 99 years, basically a lease at no cost, which is what they have had for many years, but that current lease is set to expire. It would allow the district to develop that land in any way that they want to. So on that note, all 13 members of the council and the mayor are in agreement, right? They want control of that land because it's 174 acres of riverfront property with a metro stop, right? So they, you know, they want to develop that like they've developed the rest of the waterfront along the Anacostia and Potomac River throughout D.C. And so on that, they will agree. Whether or not there should be a football stadium, that will be the huge battle. You know, Chairman Mendelson has not committed to that. Charles Allen, who lives in that neighborhood, has said that he's against, you know, public funding for another stadium in D.C., especially at a time where D.C. is facing a massive budget deficit going into the next few years, you know, canceling programs. So it's going to be very difficult for politicians to say, hey, we want to spend X millions of dollars building this stadium, but, oh, by the way, we're cutting the circulator bus, we're cutting, you know, daycare funding, where we don't have enough police officers on the streets, you know, all these other quality of life and really serious issues that aren't getting funded. And so that's going to be the battle. And there, it is definitely not a done deal once they get this thing through Congress.
It's not a done
that's
deal,
when the
but
battle will just begin.
When they were doing all the stuff with the basketball team, they didn't have money either. All of a sudden they showed up with some money. And I believe this group right here might have more money than the basketball team group does. I think they would be willing to put some of their own money into it. I think a lot of this stuff is grandstanding to me.
Well, you know, I will say the grandstanding is a big part of politics and a big part of real estate. And so, yes, a lot of that is going on. The team will definitely have to put up some money. I mean, it's just a question of how much the team wants to put up. What other, you know, Josh Harris has basically said he wants the team to play in D.C., right? That's where he grew up.
Yep.
You know, that's where he went to the games. He wants it back at that location. He has, you know, very fond memories of that, as do so many of us. And so, but he's still a businessman, right? So he's going to want to get the best deal for his company and for his team. And so, you know, it is actually, I think, almost 1 year to the week that Ted Leonsis and Governor Youngkin made the announcement that the Wizards and Caps were going to move to Virginia. And you saw that how that played out over the past year, and some people overplaying their hands, you know, politically wise in that. And then here we are, you know, I believe later this week, the mayor and Ted Leonsis will have another event signing the legislation giving them that money to rebuild Capital One Arena, which now the city will own. The city will end up owning that building. They already own the land.
That's still crazy.
So, you know, there's a lot of, you know, they figure out different ways to do this. But, you know, one of the funding mechanisms, there could be a couple of funding mechanisms that would help district politicians say, look, we're going to do this in a way that it's not going to cost taxpayers any money, which is how they tried to position when they built the baseball stadium. Baseball stadium was built using what is called the baseball stadium tax. And that tax is still being charged. It's, I believe it's on the top 500 corporations like Pepco in D.C. And they've been paying that tax. And that tax is set to sunset shortly after the bonds are all paid off that built the stadium. Well, they could just keep that tax in place and then be able to legitimately say, we're not going to raise anybody's taxes to do this because they'll use this revenue from a tax on businesses that already exist that was set to go out and sunset, but now they'll just keep it in place for another few decades to pay off a new stadium. The other possibility is that they partner with a private developer in some type of public-private partnership where the developer says, hey, you know, you let me build all this residential and retail and, you know, a little mixed-use community, low-income housing here along the river, and I'll build you a stadium at the same time. And so there are different things at play, different ways that they could try to fund this, but that is going to be the next battle. And I'm telling you, I went through this with the baseball stadium years ago.
Yeah, I remember that.
And it was, you know, it was a circus. It was an absolute circus.
I don't know. We're talking with our friend Mark Seagraves from NBC4. He's been covering the city and Capitol Hill and all of it for many years. He knows how the sausage gets made. I don't know if this is a question, so I'm just going to perhaps make a statement here. The great cities of the world tend to have great stadiums, and in turn tend to have tremendous events. Is it obvious enough to the city council and the people involved that this isn't just about 10 football games a year? This is about
far more
potential Olympic bids and Final Fours and Super Bowls and WrestleMania, but Taylor Swift, U2, like whatever else could happen back downtown. Does everybody understand the scope to all this?
They do, and you know, now you are channeling your inner Jack Evans, the former D.C. council member.
Who was indicted by the feds, right?
Never indicted.
Okay.
Undefeated and unindicted. but he did step down because there were ethical problems that he ran into. Yes, you're somewhat remembering that.
Every time I talked to him, he was awesome.
He's very, very pro-sports teams, and that's his mantra, is that big cities, international cities, have sports teams, and the only franchise we don't have right now is the NFL. And so, and that's, you know, the NFL wants it for the same reason, right? That's the other part of this equation. The NFL wants a team in Washington, D.C., in the nation's capital, right? And so there is that cachet, and yes, the, you know, Olympics, Super Bowl, bigger concerts, all of that stuff, you're correct. And the city realizes it's about more than just 10 games a year, as you correctly put it. And so they're keenly aware of that. But at the same time, and you can get an expert to read the economics of this any way that you want, but you know, the area would thrive without a stadium. If the city gets control of it and develops it, it will become a hub unto itself with or without a stadium there. And so I think economic benefit-wise, you know, is not necessarily the best argument. That cachet argument that you make about us being an international stage and being able to host things, you know, like international events and the Super Bowl and all these, you know, top shelf events that we would like to be known for, it is certainly not lost on the D.C. Council. But I would also say, you know, a lot of people are leery of the Olympics, right? There aren't a lot of jurisdictions that'll tell you, oh, the Olympics were the best thing that ever happened to this city, right? I mean, because it creates a lot of strife and division and gentrification and, you know, a lot of baggage comes with trying to build up an Olympic village.
Yeah.
And so
I get the Olympic stuff, especially as they go to more developing nations that spend all this money to build stuff that then goes unused. I think
it'll get used here.
I think for DC with the Olympics specifically, you probably have 75% of the infrastructure built, right? Like, you've got all these different venues. What you lack is the big famous stadium. Like, to my point, Mark, the World Cup's coming to the U.S. in 2026. And they're not playing a single game in the nation's capital. That's just embarrassing.
Which is the problem.
Yeah.
This holiday, BMW has reunited three members of the family at the BMW Roadhome Sales Event. The Agile X3, engineered for any adventure. The plug-in hybrid X5, commanding the streets with unmatched presence. And the all-electric i4, charging into the future with impeccable performance. Hurry in to find what powers your journey at the BMW Roadhome Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine. Hurry in for exceptional offers through January 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof like Aloe, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet and the not-so-secret secret, with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Aloe, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odyssey podcast, all lowercase. Go to Shopify.com/Odyssey Podcast to upgrade your selling today. Shopify.com/Odyssey Podcast.
It's better over here.
AT&T customers, switching to T-Mobile has never been easier. We'll pay off your existing phone and give you a new one free. All on America's largest 5G network. Visit T-Mobile.com/carrierfreedom to switch today.
Pay off up to $650 via virtual prepaid MasterCard in 15 days. Free phone up to $830 via 24 monthly bill credits plus tax. Qualifying port-in trade-in service on Go5G Next and credit required. Contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance and required finance agreement is due.
Right. Yeah. And, you know, we have a big soccer community here,
right,
too. And
totally.
So, again, with a stadium that was also built in this public-private, you know, economy. And so these are all things that are going to be hashed out if we get over this hurdle on Capitol Hill this week. And then, you know, if we don't, then we have to, you know, that's the other question. If it doesn't make it into congressional approval this year and we have to wait and we come back next year with a Republican House, Republican Senate, and a Republican president, some people in the city, some of the mayor's advisors believe that's actually advantageous to D.C., that a Trump administration and Republicans would be much more friendlier to doing this deal and making this happen. You know, I will tell you, when RFK was first built, you know who the contractor was who built RFK Stadium? It was the federal government. So, yeah, it's not like they haven't built their own stadium before. And so you could see a scenario, even though Josh Harris has said it has to happen this year for his timeline. He can't wait until next year to figure out whether D.C.'s in the running or not. If he feels like it could happen under a Republican administration, and it does, it could take on a different type of dynamic, but still happen then. So
that's wild.
You know,
I'll
wait and see.
Isn't that how they got the then Redskins to integrate? Was they built this stadium and said, you guys can't play here until you have black players? Like
that is correct. They were not going to build, and I'm just trying to remember if it was the Senators or the football team that was mandated for.
No, because the Redskins had this old racist owner, this dude, George Preston Marshall, that was like.
They made him
that's
do
right.
it.
Well, yeah. And you'll remember his statue sat out in front of RFK.
That's true.
For many, many, many years. It was defaced a few years back, and then by protesters for that very reason, and it was finally taken down.
Wow.
But look, you know, let's not forget the Senators in the early days playing at Griffith Stadium. Clark Griffith was not going to win any Humanitarian of the Year awards from the NAACP either.
So, crazy, man.
You know, yeah.
What a world.
Right, man.
Mark,
appreciate you, Mark.
Appreciate it, man. Such a wealth of knowledge, dude. Thank you.
Anytime. I really appreciate being here, you guys. Thanks for having me.
Thank you, man.
It's our guy, Mark Seagraves. Give him a follow at SeagravesNBC4. We got a lot of news. Game got flexed. RFK might be happening. I'm going to say it. I'm going to speak it into existence.
It's happening.
Same thing I did with the damn flex game. It is happening. Nobody go anywhere.
Hey, guys. It's Jim Costa from Cash the Ticket. If you're planning on betting college football bowl games, good luck. No, seriously, it's never been harder. And you don't want to be hurting your bankroll. You want to make sure you're doing your homework. Listen to Cash the Ticket. Mike Valeni and I will be breaking down every single bowl game, dropping new episodes nearly every day throughout college football's postseason. Spicing things up with a 12-team playoff. Can't wait to see some of those teams from the South come up north for the snow. Be sure to subscribe to Cash the Ticket on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.